we were having dinner with Thai together. So because this is a very, very nice place with some investment. So I was asking Thai the question, because we are learning the Dharma that it's beyond control, it's by conditions. But when you are running a business with the investment, you have a plan. You would like the plan to come out nicely. Yes, it's natural, right? But we tend to forget.
Always, even not when you think about business.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Except the business, because the investment is quite relatively big. So sometimes...
No matter, it's conditioned by thinking.
Yes.
When you don't think about it, it's not as big.
Right. Right, but it's also natural to think about it more because it's big.
And I think that the other times you think about other things more than business.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
This morning, many moments of thinking, not about business. Right?
Right. Yes. Okay.
Exactly the same, each moment.
Right.
Arising and falling away by conditions. No matter what you are thinking right now, it's conditioned. Even if you think about business, it's conditioned.
Yes. Right.
No matter the thinking is about, or seeing, see and think, hearing, hear, or smelling or tasting, all should be studied carefully as no self. Otherwise, it's the self who selects all the time.
Right.
The more you see that it cannot be controlled, no one can select any object, no matter what thinking thinks about, it's all right. It's just a moment of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be troubled with such thinking about business or anything. Exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
What is there, the feeling at moment of thinking about business?
Anxiety. Normally, it, for me, it could be easily with dosa because...
I ask about the feeling.
The feeling, right.
What kind of feeling is there at moment of thinking about business?
Unpleasant feeling, most likely to me.
Pleasant one or unpleasant one or what?
Unpleasant.
Unpleasant.
Right.
Is there no unpleasant feeling right now sometimes?
Yes.
Exactly the same.
Yeah, okay.
So don't think that it's special not to think about this because it's not good for understanding. That is why ignorance and attachment, mm-hmm. because whatever is there, mm-hmm. right understanding can understand.
Right.
Otherwise, it's there with the idea of self all the time.
Yes, that's also another related question because the business, there's a plan. So it tend to be,
We plan to come here. We plan to have discussion here.
Right.
Everyone plans. What's the difference?
Right. The difference to me is, if something happened, I could not make it, then I can plan to come next time.
No, right. It's conditioned to think about that.
Right.
Not thinking about other things else. At that moment of thinking about coming, about doing, about planning, it's only such moment which is conditioned to think about that,
right.
No matter what. Otherwise, there is I there all the time. I better not think about this. I better think about that. That is the self, ignorance, and attachment. Only Panya can see and can understand that as not self. But when Panya is not developed to that degree yet, the self is there, here and there, this moment or other moment, until the moment of enlightenment. It means that all realities are known as not self from the development from moment to moment, because no one is developing anything. Right understanding only develops. So the self try to do the function of right understanding, but it cannot understand. So the more you think about the self, try to have understanding, at that moment it hinders the arising of great understanding, because it's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's so very subtle that only developed Panya can understand more and more, a little more and more, a little more and more, until all reality right now, without selection, appears as no self. Yet clearly, not just thinking that there is no self, that's not enough.
And as soon as one thinks in terms of one situation or one kind of livelihood or one kind of way of living is better for understanding Dhamma than another, then one forgets all about reality at this moment. Or if one thinks that because in some situations there's more dosa or more stress, again, it's like an idea of I or self trying to control the realities that arise instead of understanding anything about Dharmas as anatta at this very moment. Because however life goes, whether one goes this way or that way, whether one runs a business or doesn't, whether it's successful or not successful, actually there are only cittas, cetasikas and rupas, each one conditioned.
That was part of Vincent's little dilemma. All Dhammas are conditioned, so he was wondering whether for the business person who understands the Dhamma this could cause some conflict. Is that right? Between the wish for success and the understanding that all Dhammas are conditioned.
Right. So like but everything is conditioned anyway. So if it's remembered all by condition or not. I is not here. Okay. I don't know if Tiny Town, you want to say anything about how you...
You said that, but you used to have a similar idea to Vincent, that you saw the work as some kind of handicap to studying Dharma, but now you don't see it like that. I think he would like you to add your comment.
Actually, I forget many things about that time, but I think I used to think that I want to devote my time for studying Dhamma or going to the retreat for the rest of my life, because I felt living in the mountain world is very stressful and troublesome. So at that time, I used to think that I should do something special, and I want to spend more time alone to think about myself. And life is also easier when I live that way. I don't have to do anything.
And that's the great hindrance.
Yes.
Yeah.
So after a few years, I realized that too. Actually, I'm still the layperson. I still have to earn my living. And I have responsible to the family too. So after a few years, I find the work again, and when I study more about Dhamma, listen to Achan, and I see no difference between daily life and going somewhere and doing something special. Everywhere is just, there's trouble everywhere, even at work or without work. In anything I do, sometimes I feel trouble with the health or even trouble with the neighbors or friends. It's happened always, all the time. So it doesn't matter where you are.
About if we live in the environment with so many bad deeds,
no matter how happy the situation is or suffering the situation is, right understanding can understand that. Not you. You cannot. No matter when you are so pleasant or so very sad. No understanding. So it's not you who understands. It's only the standing itself develops from hearing. Without hearing, without thinking wisely, how can there be more and more understanding of whatever is there as not self?
said that there are four factors for conditions. There are four factors of condition development of understanding.
What are they?
And a good friend who understands.
And Dhammas is anyone's good friend. Dhamma, only Dhamma is good friend, comes from the Buddha. No matter how much or how many friends you have, they cannot take you away out of samsara at all. But each word of the teaching bring about the understanding, not to take you away suddenly, not to take you away out immediately of samsara, but right understanding itself performs its function as just to understand that which is now appearing. Because this moment arises and falls away, only moment when it appears that that can be object of understanding from hearing the teachings and have the idea or understanding little by little about that, like seeing, hearing or thinking, no matter one is in this world or other world, heaven, Brahma, animal world, seeing is seeing. It depends on, can there be conditions for seeing to arise? If you think that I cannot understand, that is not condition for seeing to arise at all, because ignorance drag you away from this moment with attachment to other place. So how can there be the understanding of real just right now by conditions? Remember that all realities cannot arise without its appropriate condition. So the same as understanding, it needs right, appropriate conditions for its arising. No one can understand it without hearing any word of the Buddha at all.
And if one is busy with one's work, for example, setting up a new business or making an investment, and there's dosa, and seeing and hearing, a little bit of understanding in this lifestyle is much better, much more precious than living in a very quiet, beautiful surrounding, following wrong practice with no understanding. So it's the understanding that's really important, no matter the circumstances, no matter the realities. No one likes unpleasant feeling or dosa, but like Tiny Tam said, impossible to avoid in life. Because when there are conditions, because of attachment and ignorance, there will be dosa and unpleasant feeling. But the goal is not to avoid unpleasantness. The goal is to develop understanding of whatever is conditioned, no matter where one is or what the lifestyle.
I believe the point that the nun is trying to stress is that we know that association with the wise friend and listening to the Dhamma are parts of the conditions for panya to arise. And if we have a working environment or, you know, a lot of responsibilities, maybe you don't have good friends in Dhamma around and you don't have the opportunity to listen to the Dhamma, I think it's what you meant, right?
But the point is, like we were talking with Thai yesterday evening, we've been hearing and considering and we study, but even when one's busy with one's work, there can be understanding of seeing or hearing any time, because there is the interest or the right understanding in reality. And at that moment of understanding, any time, anywhere, no matter the circumstances, that is the association with the Buddha and the teachings. But if we are in the quiet place surrounded with Buddhist friends but following a wrong practice, or there is the idea of selecting an object, no association with the Buddha or the Buddha's teachings. Seeing is so brief, it doesn't mean stopping one's activities or changing one's activities. So it's the understanding that's important. Like I know some people in Thailand, they just think if they just listen all day, every day at the foundation or to recordings, then it will be better. But this is not the right way. It's not natural daily life. So better to listen to a very little with understanding and consideration than to listen all day to a jhan and not understand the point about seeing at this moment, no matter how busy or not. Otherwise, it's not association with the good friends.
It sounds like thinking about listening to Dhamma is so good. It sounds. But it depends on, can anyone see attachment, desire, at that moment of trying or wanting to listen? So we come here to have discussion on whatever appears, to share the understanding, that's all.
Also mention the accommodation.
Yes.
The suitable accommodation.
Yes. So it depends on wise or unwise attention to this word with attachment or with right understanding. Even talking about Dhamma now, it depends on whether you would like so very much to understand a certain or special words of reality, or just know that no matter what is listened, it's only about whatever appears now. What is better? Should we talk about the numerous conditions for hearing or seeing or thinking to arise now, or even hearing that what is there now at moment of seeing? No one there. Should be stretched. And that is the words for cultivation of understanding. Understanding grows when there's no unforgetfulness of seeing right now. No one there at moment of seeing. So what is there when there's no one? Only a reality which is so real because it sees now. How can be other thing? It's not me, it's no one. Only that which now sees. Is it enough from the very beginning to know exactly what's the purpose of listening to the teachings, to understand whatever appears, for right understanding to develop?
Like yesterday, now he's here, when we were discussing this topic, he said, oh, yesterday in the discussion, he had to go off to the police station and attend to some business, and he had to run around to take care of many things. But for him, no conflict, no idea that that means there is less association with the Buddha or less understanding, because he appreciates this is daily life. Seeing is seeing, no matter here or no matter at the police station. And when Vincent asked him if he has any conflict between running his business and understanding, he said no, but he can say more because this is the right approach, this is daily life.
Just like the story that we discussed last night, when the question arises about what is important in our life, so I just comment that it's very difficult to say that this thing is more important than the other thing. For example, yesterday afternoon during the discussion, I had to go out to arrange a few things with the policeman. It doesn't mean that working with policemen more important than listen to the Dhamma. It's just about the thing I have to do at that moment.
Just daily life and Dhammas at any time, no matter there or here. And so it's the association with the Buddha and the teachings are the moments of understanding, reflecting wisely, not thinking these are the Dhamma activities, those are not the Dhamma activities. That's not the correct understanding, because Dhamma is Dhamma no matter here or there. And this is the confidence that grows with the development of right understanding, that Dharma is any time, anywhere. There can be association with a good friend any time.
So association with the wise person and hearing the Dhamma, it means hearing the Dhamma explained in a way that helps us to understand what is the reality of the present moment. It doesn't just mean hearing someone read a sutta or hearing the monks chant the daily chanting, because at that time, although it's the word of the Buddha, it may not be what helps us understand that seeing now is a Dhamma that is to be understood, and hearing now. The Buddha's teaching is very deep and difficult to understand. So it's necessary to have a lot of detail that was not necessary for the person listening at the time of the Buddha. Any person that can help us to understand more about the reality of the present moment and the development of understanding is at that time the wise friend. But the other person who may be also interested in the Dhamma and leading a life separate from the rest of the community, it depends on their understanding of the Dhamma, whether that association is helpful for us or not.
And what did the people in the Buddha's time do after hearing the teachings from him?
I think they just understand what the Buddha said and consider. That's all.
No matter who, after hearing the teachings of the Buddha, what did they do in the Buddha's time? Daily life, for sure, no matter when.
Kings still ruled their countries, laymen still supported their families and ran businesses, women still took care of their homes and grandchildren or performed all their duties. So the Buddha never told all these people, you better go to the mountain and the quiet place.
But someone to go, went to the forest and
all of them? Only some?
No, some of them.
Because of what? Why not?
Because of their accumulation.
Yeah.
And most or not most? Not most. No. And at that time, most people lived in the countryside, not in big cities like Ho Chi Minh and Hanoi, or so the countryside is nearby. Like the monks at that time, they lived already in the forests and the quiet places. But the Buddha never told everyone it would be better if you go to the forest or you should go.
And why didn't he tell them? Not to go to anywhere special. Because it's not daily life. If it's not, remember that. It's not the way to eradicate defilements. Attachment and ignorance is always there. Is there ignorance right now? And can it be less? Is there any way? Not method. Yeah. When it's method, it's wrong understanding for sure. It's not taught by the Buddha. It's taught by whom? See? Not thinking or finding, trying to know who's that master. The master doesn't say any word of the Buddha's teaching at all. Because Buddha didn't teach anyone to go to some places, but to live the daily life, their own life, and right understanding can develop that way, because it's not hindered by ignorance and attachment to go somewhere to have it. What is the second Ariya Satya? The second Ariya Satya. What is the second one? What is the second Ariya Satya?
The cause of dukkha.
What is the cause of dukkha?
Lopa and ignorance.
Why? It's the cause of dukkha.
Why? You said.
Because it's the with ignorance conditioned more and more realities which cannot be known by ignorance and attachment at all. So the path leading to the enlightenment must be having less attachment from the very beginning. From the very beginning. Why one reads the Tipitaka?
To understand what the Buddha said.
What does one's intention is? What is one's intention to read?
Why do you read the Tipitaka? What for?
To understand what the Buddha said.
Only that, not going to any place. See, not going to any place just to understand what the Buddha taught, not to go to other place and think that that's the way. That is motivated by attachment and ignorance for sure, because right understanding cannot see it as soon as you think about it. It's the lobha attachment now. Who knows? And is that panya enough to know? So, how can panya develop in order to know?
Listen and considering until
listening, considering wisely. Is the panya at moment of hearing there? See, ignorance all the time. That's why only the Buddha's word, which tell about the truth of each, can condition moment of understanding, even it's only intellectual understanding in the beginning, but it develops. Would you like to go to somewhere of the forest now? I mean now, see, no need, what for?
Actually, I have stayed in the mental hospital with my mom. My mom is crazy, so I care her. So in the mental hospital, there are so many bad deeds, many akusala citta.
Are they not true?
No.
Are they not conditioned? Can anyone make them arise? They are gone unknowingly all the time. Only panya can know. It has to understand whatever appears, otherwise there's no moment to eradicate defilement which is there.
When I stay there, I realize that the approach you teach me, you that is the only way to develop my way.
Yeah.
I realize that.
And at those times, there's also moments of kindness when you caring for your mother and helping, and moments of seeing and hearing, like now, so many different realities. And nothing lasts for an instant. So even the dosa or moments of akusala vipaka just arise for an instant and gone instantly. Nothing stays at all. So actually it doesn't matter what arises because it doesn't last, and there can be understanding any time at all, so that there's really confidence that no matter the circumstances, it's the time for panya. Panya is right understanding to arise any time at all.
But I think for the beginning, for the very beginner, we need time to listen, to read the teaching of the Buddha as you teach it. So we need the very, very basis, the understanding. So, but if we, I live in the, if I live somewhere where I have no time to listen, to read.
It's not a matter of having time. It's a matter of meeting the right people and having the right discussion or the opportunity to hear. Because even if one has so much time, if one is reading this or that, but with the wrong idea of what the Buddha is saying, which is very easy, then it's not helpful. Is it possible to read the Buddha's teachings with the wrong idea? For example, to read and have the idea that he taught we should go to a quiet place, or he taught we should live a simple life, or he taught we should not do this, not do that. Is it possible to have that idea when reading the teachings? I think it is, because it's easy to misunderstand what the Buddha said, because we have ideas of our own that we use to understand when we read. So it's not a matter of having time, but a matter of the opportunity to meet the right people and discuss with them. And if we have the idea that one place, one kind of situation is better than another kind of situation, if we have that idea, then when you go to visit your mum in the mental hospital, you would think, no chance for me to develop any understanding now because so many agusala citta, right? But because you understand that it is possible to develop understanding or kusala at any time, then you realize that even though it's a mental hospital, it's not a hindrance to developing understanding. If one has heard already about the development of understanding at any time, so whether we're in a mental hospital or whether we're in a business situation or whether we're at a party or whatever is happening, whatever is the situation, we appreciate that there can be understanding of realities at any time if one has heard the teaching explained properly.
Like the example of Graham. Yeah. He came to a monastery in the mountain, our friend from Australia, right? And he came to a mountain, a monastery, and he met Kung. No idea about joining these discussions. So just by condition that he came here yesterday and then had the chance to listen to this. So no planning at all. Just conditions, yeah.
And the most important thing is the interest in developing understanding of the truth of life and the accumulation to understand, so that when one hears what is right, it's clear that it's right and one's not inclined or interested to follow any wrong practice at all. When I first heard Ajahn speaking, it was on a tape. Actually, the tape was mostly in Thai and Pali, just a little bit of English. And I was living in a temple in Sri Lanka, and I'd been following a lot of wrong practices. And when I heard that little, it was enough for me to understand it's right, that at this moment it's just sound heard, and then thinking about stories of the dogs barking or thinking about stories of what I'm saying. But actually, it's only sound that is heard. No dog barking, no one speaking at all. And I left the temple and went back to England, and I worked in a psychiatric center as a psychologist, and very demanding, very difficult work, traveling long hours in London, but very confident that this was no obstacle to developing understanding. So in the evening I would listen to some recording and begin to read and study more and more on my own. And actually it was 2 years before I met Ajahn, but no doubt about the value of understanding in the daily life, no thought about following any practice at all. So it doesn't depend on how much time you have with other people or how much time you have to listen to recordings or read books. It depends on the interest and the appreciation of what is right at this moment. And I never thought, when I was running a business for so long in Hong Kong, I never thought for a moment that this is any obstacle or any conflict with the Dharma, because the Dharma is any moment, any reality, no matter where or what, seeing, hearing. I never thought it would be better if I lived in Thailand, because then I can have more time with Ajahn. I never thought like that at all. So it depends on the understanding and the truthfulness about life at this moment. And yesterday in our discussion, one friend was suggesting we give a lot of importance to understanding, and that's right. And she mentioned, actually, all dharmas are impermanent and all dharmas are dukkha and pass away so quickly. So why talk or give so much emphasis to understanding? The reason is, without understanding, it's impossible to understand, impossible for anything about the Buddha's teachings to be known, impossible for association with a good friend, even for a moment. So this is why there's so much emphasis on right understanding, so that no matter what one's lifestyle or one's work or how busy one is, no obstacle at all. No hindrance for developing the path.
Yes, I totally agree that things happen by conditions, right? So even panya also arises by condition. But let's say Ajahn or the group here always press about listening to the Dharma. It again more important to get understanding, right? So, but in daily life, not just the time of listening to the Dharma is not too much, right? So, conditions, which condition the understanding or condition the panyas to arise? Then, as Sarah said, any condition can be conditioned for reflecting on the understanding whatever happened right here, right now, at the impermanent and non-self. Yeah. And it's not very easy to reflect on that, because in the daily life, normally forget about the reflecting whatever happened, and it's quite very subtle on that. I think in the daily life, in normal life, need very firm confidence about the Buddha teaching, and need much time on listening to the Dharma and discussion. So I think that is the reason why Ajahn always mentioned about the
the listening to the Dharma. So for the beginners, the conditions happen in the daily life to condition the arising of the understanding not very simple. So like a machine, right? We need to start up to run, and then after running it, momentum keep running like the ignorance, loba, and things come and keep running time to time. Then need something to melt out the fuel, keep that running. It could be the way, yeah.
Yes, it's true that there's a lot of forgetfulness in a day, and only a few brief moments perhaps of remembering about the development of awareness. But I don't think this means that there should be more listening, more and more listening in terms of time spent, because then it's the idea of I must listen more to have more understanding in a day. This is not the right way. No matter whether there is a small opportunity or big opportunity to hear the Dhamma, it can condition useful thinking about the Dhamma during the day or later. And perhaps there's more thinking about what we've heard and understood than we realize. It doesn't mean we have to have a thought in our mind about this and that, or this is seeing or visible object or whatever, because there can be thinking going on during the day without any intention that it should do so. We don't have to intend to think in order to be thinking about the teaching. We have lots of thoughts during the day. Most of it is useless, but some of it can be useful. So it's a matter of our interest in the Dhamma, because that's what really conditions the thinking and reflection about what has been heard. It's not a matter of there should be more listening, more minutes of listening in a day. It's a matter of what has been understood. It's a matter of the interest that there is in developing understanding. And it's a matter, of course, of our understanding of what the Buddha taught and the importance of awareness in daily life.
And like with running the motorbike, it's really important that it started in the right way from the beginning, otherwise it won't run in the right way. And with the development of understanding or hearing the Buddha's teachings, like you mentioned in the beginning, people have no idea or very little idea. So what's important is that it has to be right from the beginning, and that means from the very beginning there has to be the consideration that there are just dharmas and that each dharma is anatta, not in anyone's control. Because if one thinks one will follow some practice of focusing on concentrating and then the understanding of dharmas will come later, it's not correct at all. If one follows the wrong path, it just goes more and more wrong. So there has to be, for the purpose of developing understanding, there has to be the right consideration of namas and rupas, those realities which can experience an object, and those realities that don't experience anything, right from the beginning, in order to appreciate that it's useless to select an object and no one can control anything, and to appreciate that the development of understanding has to be in daily life. So that's why with someone who's never heard any teachings before, like Vincent's 11-year-old daughter when she came to Thailand, completely new. So from the beginning, we just talked about seeing now, what is seen now, what that which is visible, no one who can see, no thing that is seen, hearing now, sound that is heard, no thing that is heard, no bird, no dog that is heard. Because if there isn't the beginning of right understanding at the beginning, then there will be the wrong ideas of practice and selection. So it has to be in daily life from the very start.
But it's correct that the fuel, if you like, to continue for the development of understanding is hearing the Dhamma again and again. Hearing just once is not enough. Hearing just a little bit about the teaching is not enough. If we appreciate that it's necessary to keep hearing sometimes the same thing over and over again, sometimes different things, different aspects of the teachings, then we appreciate opportunities that do arise for hearing the Dhamma. It's a matter of conditions, how frequently those conditions will come to pass. Because hearing the wrong Dhamma is of no use whatsoever to the development of understanding. So we should forget about trying to create better conditions and just appreciate the opportunities when they do arise.
Many questions or reflections after yesterday, because I'm sure it was a lot to digest or consider.
In one way, yesterday is no longer, and I'm I'm here with you now. And a couple of questions have arisen this morning, and the first one is about thinking, because it seems to be my experience that when I'm not doing anything, my mind produces thoughts. And sometimes it produces a thought which looks very interesting, maybe insight in it. So therefore, I then start thinking about that thought. I start contemplating. Do you make a distinction between thinking in terms of the mind producing thoughts and thinking in terms of contemplation? Thinking about what arises apparently in my mind. I'm not sure where those thoughts actually are.
Is thinking the same as concentrating?
Contemplation.
Contemplation, not concentration.
See,
I see. I see, yeah.
Yeah, and it seems not. It appears not, but that's really my question. I'm not sure. It appears that I then look at, contemplate, think about a thought that has arisen.
How many worlds of truth are there?
How many
worlds of truth are there?
I'm not sure how you're using the word world.
If nothing arises at all, there is no world.
Right, okay.
So at moment of seeing, it's the world of seeing, right?
Yes.
The world of hearing, the world of smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking, they're different worlds. But what about the world of seeing? Seeing arises just a moment. In a moment to see. The citta, the realities before seeing, cannot be seen.
Right.
And the realities after seeing cannot be seen. So thinking is not seeing. In a day, what worlds arise more than the other world? What world?
The world of seeing and listening.
You think that the world is seeing is so all day long. But actually, it's only a moment.
Right.
A moment. And after that, thinking, thinks about it a lot. Unknowingly. Like hearing. Hearing is only a moment of hearing. And thinking about that which is heard a lot.
Okay.
Even not seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching at all, is the world of thinking.
Right.
So if there is no understanding about this world, the world of thinking, better and better, it's impossible not to doubt about it, how it's conditioned and why it's conditioned. If there is not accumulation at all, of thinking or contemplating, can that be that way of thinking? not the other way of thinking.
Accumulation. You mean reliance on memory? On...
Yes, because you see that at moment of seeing, no idea about what is seen at all.
Right, I understand. Yeah.
And there is, and before it's the moment of thinking about any word, the name, there is thinking.
Mm-hmm.
After seeing already, thinking of what? When it's not in words.
Thinking of what?
When it's not thinking in words. Because usually we think about thinking as only in words. Planning.
Yes. Interesting.
But thinking before thinking in words, after seeing.
Mm, right. Prelingual. Yeah.
Thinking of shapes, forms, impressions.
Right.
So before there's any idea of these are flowers, there's... thinking of an impression and marks and signs in order for there to be that thinking of flowers or lilies later on.
Understand. Yeah, interesting. Yeah. That makes
so
sense.
It's another world, not the world of seeing, see? So we have to know the difference between all these worlds in order that no one at all, at any moment of experiencing anything, no matter through eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body or mind.
Thank you. Yeah, that's clear.
Thinking is thinking, whether it's useful thinking or useless thinking.
Right.
So we can talk about contemplation, we can talk about idle thought, we can talk about impulsive thinking, but it's all thinking.
All thinking, right.
It all has the characteristic of the mind taking a conceptual object.
Right, yeah. Now that's nice and simple.
Then there's also thinking about what's been experienced through the sense doors,
mm-hmm.
what's been seen, what's been heard.
Right.
For example, it's by thinking that you're understanding what's being said at the moment. You wouldn't understand words or language if there wasn't thinking.
Yes, of course.
So there's a lot of thinking that follows each moment of hearing of sound.
Mm.
And likewise, it's thinking that recognizes objects
mm-hmm.
as such. The moment of seeing, there's no recognition of particular objects.
Right, you have to, yeah.
It's the thinking that follows. So, again, it's just thinking.
Mm-hmm. Just like what's happening now is hearing, and then the thinking is my using my faculties to understand what you're saying.
Yes, but there's no awareness, recognition on our part of the difference between the moment of just hearing
yeah.
and the moment of thinking. We can understand intellectually that that's what's happening, but they are different realities altogether. That's the point. So the hearing consciousness is arising via the ear door, whereas the thinking consciousness is arising at a different base.
Hmm. Is it important to take that understanding further than just an intellectual understanding?
The aim is to develop direct understanding of realities, not a conceptual idea of what's happening.
Okay. Because that was my second question, was Ajahn talked about intellectual understanding, and so I thought, well, what kind, other kinds of understanding, what is a more useful, if you like, type of understanding?
And deeper and more accurate.
Yes.
Would be direct understanding.
More truthful, yeah.
But direct understanding cannot be made to happen. Of course. It takes time. Yeah. That's why we talk about the basics first, the seeing and the hearing and the thinking, because there are other realities that can be directly understood also, along with thinking, along with any moment of consciousness. There are different mental factors, such as concentration and feeling, and there's attachment and all these things. They're also experiencing objects along with the moment of consciousness, and are also realities that are to be understood in time.
So the reason we talk about all these different kinds of realities intellectually is because there has to be the clear intellectual understanding which will lead to the higher understanding, which is direct understanding, which will lead to the higher understanding, which is direct realization of all the truths. But if there's no understanding by considering or contemplating that there are just these different dharmas which are anatta, not self, then there cannot be just the sudden direct understanding of them. There has to be the right contemplating first. And to give a little bit more detail, so we say that in life there is always one citta at a time. Citta means consciousness, one moment of consciousness at each moment in life. Very, very short. So seeing is a citta, hearing is a citta, moments of thinking are cittas. So there are many cittas which experience what is seen through the eye door, and then there are experiences through the mind door. And each of these cittas is accompanied by several mental factors. And some of the mental factors, like memory, arise at every moment. So it accompanies every citta and marks and remembers the object experienced, which is why there can be thinking or contemplating about those realities, such as what is seen and what is heard later. So by understanding more of the more detail, then it helps to really understand that whatever occurs in life is by different conditions, not by anyone's will.
So the intellectual understanding that there is just one moment and another moment and another moment, does that help then to let go of ideas that I am making something happen, or I'm doing something, or I am intending to do something, and then to make it more likely that I can just be with the seeing, the hearing, the touching, without drawing conclusions, but at the same time being able to reflect on those so that understanding deepens?
The intellectual understanding that we've been talking about is the beginning of letting go of the idea of a controlling self. Really seeing that is to say, seeing the absence of a controlling self is a very advanced stage. That was almost a synonym for attainment of enlightenment in a sense. But anyway, it all has to begin with an intellectual understanding rather than the direct understanding that we've also mentioned.
Because it seems to me that there are moments when, for example, I'm listening, when nothing else is happening. There is only listening. And then not even the sense of I'm listening, there is just listening. And there's nothing happening in here. No thoughts arise, no response to what's being said. What's happening there?
I wouldn't want to quibble, but listening and hearing are not the same. I think listening implies
right.
A person who is receiving the information. It's not the same as an understanding of hearing as such.
You know,
it's just a reality.
That's a good, useful distinction. Thank you.
And there wouldn't be any listening now or any idea about what has been heard if there wasn't thinking. So, and in between, actually seeing now many other realities quite unknown. And when you mentioned before that understanding about the different dharmas helps to appreciate I cannot control or make anything happen, and then you said that I can be just with the scene, but again, not I that can be with anything, just a moment of seeing. Yeah. So it just all leads to the detachment of the idea of I, that there are just these different dharmas.
What is there when there is seeing?
It seems there is nothing else but seeing.
It seems, but that is the idea of self. Well, the self is there.
Right.
So no matter before or after, or when nothing seems like happening at all, it's there. Another kind of reality.
Yes.
Which is not seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. So there are so many moments of unknown reality in between. What can there be object of right understanding now is seeing because it's there. But that which is ether does not appear to be object of understanding. That's why so many moments without understanding, and because they do not appear, only the teachings of the Buddha in details of each moment, then there can be the understanding of what is there all the time.
Mm. In any event, when listening or hearing, is there not still seeing? Because you said earlier that it seems to you that when there's, say, hearing, there's just hearing. But really, there's still seeing, isn't there?
Yes.
And there's still understanding what is being said. So actually, there's a lot more going on than just one kind of consciousness arising.
Yeah.
And we should not mistake the idea of paying attention to just the hearing with the understanding that hearing is just hearing.
No, I understand.
Otherwise, it's a self trying to
control,
to experience
to
these different kinds of consciousness.
No, that's right. Yeah, of course. I mean, as you say, everything is going on all at the same time. I mean, touching is going on, smelling is going on, sensing in every sense. But
it seems it's all at the same time, but actually
well,
different moments. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
true. Yeah, yeah. No, that's good.
When the Buddha talked about in the seeing there is just the seeing, and in the seeing there is just the seen, he was referring to developed understanding, which experiences those things, rather than setting a target for us to emulate that experience.
Right, I see how tricky it is, right. And it appears to be tricky, although I imagine trickiness really is nothing at all, but it appears to be tricky because I am still attempting to do only one thing because that thing seems to be the most important. Yeah?
Yeah, the trickster is attachment and wrong view that has been developed over many lifetimes.
And what we've been saying again and again, if there's any attempt to select an object or try to be aware, then it's the trickster of wrong view coming in again.
So is it real? Attention? Is it real?
Attention?
Whatever. Attempt or attention or whatever?
No.
Are they real?
No.
Why not?
Because they will be me doing it, because they are, it is the self, Graham, whoever
what
I am.
What are real are not only seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting and thinking. There are many realities which also are real.
Right.
Otherwise, we don't have words to make known the realities as they are.
Right. So my awareness is not a good guide to what is real?
Not understanding awareness as not self or mind, or it's conditioned by its proper conditions only.
And what we're used to thinking of or considering as awareness in daily life, like someone may think there's awareness of lifting the microphone or awareness of feeling hungry or something like this, but these are conventional ideas of awareness, whereas awareness, as taught by the Buddha, is very precise. It's a mental quality that just arises with wholesome cittas. And actually at any moment of wholesomeness, such as at a moment of kindness or generosity, there is awareness. But when it's the awareness with understanding that we're talking about, it's aware of the reality which understanding understands. So every term, every detail is very precise and different from our usual way of thinking.
And is awareness thinking?
Yes.
No.
No.
Different realities.
I see what you mean. Yeah, right. Right. So awareness may arise, and then thinking would be another moment.
It can be thinking with awareness when it's right thinking.
Right.
But when it's not right thinking, there's no awareness.
No awareness, yeah. Right. Okay.
Like I mentioned, at each moment in life, there is one citta, and each citta is accompanied by several mental factors, at least seven mental factors, which we call chetasikas. And one of those chetasikas which accompanies each citta is memory. We call it sanya. Another chetasika is understanding or panya, which sometimes arises with wholesome cittas and sometimes doesn't. And another mental factor is awareness or sati. Sati arises with every wholesome citta. So each citta is accompanied by many citta seekers, which each one performs its own function. For example, at every moment of consciousness, there is one mental factor, concentration. So at each moment of citta, the concentration focuses on one object. That's why only one object is experienced at a time. So one learns more about different mental factors. So at a moment of thinking, if it is wholesome thinking, it's accompanied by sati awareness. And if it's not wholesome thinking, no sati awareness. Yeah. So they rise together.
Yeah, I like that. That's good. That's helpful. Thank you.
So is attention awareness?
John's referring to paying attention, attending to different things.
Yeah, so that me paying attention, I can't see how that could be awareness. But if, as you were saying, it is a wholesome aura, then awareness could also be there too.
So are they the same or are they different? Attendance.
Attention
and
awareness.
We come to more subtle and deeper realities.
Mm. Maybe I would hedge my bets and say they could be the same.
That is speculation, right? No one knows.
Right.
Only the Buddha
taught
about it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone begin to think about it and begin to understand. Reality is not just only seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting,
right,
touching, and thinking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Actually, there's another mental factor, another chetasika, which is attention, which arises with every citta. So at a moment of seeing, there is attending to the object. At each moment of thinking, there's attending. And when it's thinking, like you suggested, it can be attending in wholesome or unwholesome way.
Right, so the attending, the way you're using the word attending or attention is not me attending, it's attention.
Reality.
Right, okay.
So what is me?
Well, from my current awareness, me is the idea that I am speaking and that I am listening, I am watching, I am...
And attention, is it me?
Well, I think that's a false... It seems to be now that I appear to be paying
like
attention.
Seeing appears to be me.
Yes, it appears
I
to
see.
Me.
So they are conditioned realities.
Yes, exactly.
Different ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm.
So it needs the teachings of the Buddha to understand more and more in order to letting go the idea of self from each reality which appears.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And when you say letting go of self, who is letting go?
Many realities include right understanding.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. Awareness and right understanding. Hearing, it's not just hearing. It must be wise attention to what it's heard.
So is it correct to say that it's not possible for me to let go?
Right. Never. Only right understanding. It's the function of right understanding only.
but any notion of a practice is exactly what you said, me trying to let go.
And what is practice?
Well, for me now, practice is just an idea that I can make something happen by doing something that seems to be the right thing to do to make it happen. But practice for me doesn't make any sense.
As long as it's still my idea is strong.
Exactly. Ah, right. Okay. Yes. That's a nice distinction. Mm.
Question here. Good morning, everyone. Hello. I have two questions. First, if everything comes to our life just because the condition, so this might be sometimes we think that I think that I don't need to try in our life. So sometimes I don't have hope, don't have a dream, don't have some mission. So if I do that, so I don't do anything in our life, so I don't have money, so I don't have anything to eat or can do something good for another people. So if we think that is that right? And the second,
if nothing arises at all, can there be I? If nothing arises, can there be I? Nothing appear, nothing at all. Can there be I? Can there be the world? Can there be forest? Can there be table?
If there is no seeing, no hearing, no like, dislike, none of the realities we've been talking about, can there be any idea of I can do, or any idea of a forest out there?
No. If we don't see, don't hear, don't think, so there is nothing.
Is it we who see? Is it we who see, or it's just seeing?
Yeah, it's just seeing. No one see, no one hear. Just sound, just the object of seeing, but
the idea that I need to try or I don't need to try because everything is conditioned, that's just an idea, just thinking.
Why are you concerned about that? If it's just the concept, it's not real. Earning money, trying to do something.
Maybe there is some condition, this is enough, make me think that, but I can stop thinking about that. When I think about the condition appear around here, but if we don't do anything, we just follow the condition, is there a future with a rain before we, from the moment we appear this life?
Is there seeing right now?
Yes.
What can you do?
Cannot do anything.
Is there thinking right now?
Yes.
What can you do?
I cannot do anything.
So can you do anything?
No.
No. But what you take for I? What reality that you take for I? Seeing is seeing. No one makes it arise at all.
Yes.
And it falls away instantly. No one can stop from falling away. It from falling away, right? So at moment of seeing, can that be I? Just for the moment, exact moment of arising and before falling away. That's the idea without understanding of everything, that I is there. But actually, there's no I, because each conditioned reality is conditioned arising and falling away unknowingly all the time.
And if there is the idea that because dharmas are conditioned, there's no purpose in running a business or earning money or eating lunch or holding the microphone, this would be wrong understanding. Because even at the moment, like holding the microphone or thinking about lunch or running the business, actually they're just different conditioned realities, seeing, hearing, thinking and so on. No one can do anything. But if there's the idea there's no point to do that, then it's a kind of wrong thinking. It's not understanding conditioned realities at that time, like this time. It's like an idea of I should stop doing that because I should stop running a business because they're only conditioned dharmas anyway. So actually it's the idea of self behind it.
I think because they're still thinking that the conditions on the one hand and I on the other hand. Right? I think they're separate person apart from conditions.
Yes, that was our question earlier. But when we say everything is conditioned, what do we mean by everything? For example?
The seeing, the hearing, thinking, yeah.
You've just explained to Ajahn that they arise at rising. Now, without doing anything, they still arise. So that's already happening. Your question is, if seeing is conditioned, does it mean I don't need to try? Well, the answer is, that's the situation now, isn't it?
Yes, I always think I still have eyes, still have...
Everyone, not only you. Everyone who has become enlightened yet.
Yeah, I see.
And Hagen, you were talking about the other day, we were having a discussion about the lost mobile phone. Hagen lost his mobile phone Hong Kong airport, and he found that he keeps thinking about it or keeps feeling badly about it. So this is actually daily life, and he was talking about why one keeps thinking about it, and this is because of memory, because actually there was moments of seeing and hearing. It's so common, it doesn't mean there's more or less understanding because one loses one's mobile phone. It can happen anytime, anywhere, not of any significance, but because of memory one keeps thinking with aversion about it and thinking about where it might be or what one could have done. But actually the reality now is just thinking, just dharmas which are anatta. Anything else on this point?
Thank you for your explanation. But I also have one question. In Vietnam, we have a talk that after we try on our best, everything that comes next can consider as a condition. So is it right thinking? Because as Admin just asked, if everything is conditioned, so we don't need to do anything, I think you say it's not correct thinking. So if we try on our best and then the next things happen or come up, so can we consider this is a condition?
This is conventional thinking, but it's not the kind of conditioned that the Buddha spoke about. When he spoke about things being conditioned, he was referring to realities of the present moment, like seeing and hearing and thinking. He was not referring to conventional outcomes. So if we take, it's like his teaching about not self, it also means that dhammas are not self. We cannot take a particular notion and apply it in another context. So we should understand what the Buddha meant when he talked about being conditioned. Yes, seeing now is conditioned, hearing now is conditioned. But it doesn't mean that your sitting in the chair is conditioned, because that's not a Dhamma that can be directly experienced. If we want to talk about what happens in life to us, then this is a result of past deeds. That's a kind of conditioning relationship too, but in a different way.
At moment of thinking about I see, is that wise thinking?
Could you repeat again?
At moment of seeing, when there's the idea of I see, is that wise thinking?
I think it's a...
No, not it's not wise. But when there's the understanding that seeing is not me, because it's conditioned, no one can make it arise at all, is that wise thinking? So there are unwise thinking and wise thinking. I see is wise or not wise.
It's not wise.
It's not I which sees.
Just the eyes.
No, no I, it's only seeing.
See.
Is that wise thinking?
It's correct.
So now you know what is wise and what is unwise thinking.
And when we say, I try my best, of course we're just talking in ordinary language, no problem. But actually, at moments of thinking, because there are wise and unwise moments, so the moments of best are the wholesome moments, so moments of thinking with understanding is actually the best. And moments of thinking with no understanding and with ignorance and attachment is the worst. So it's different from conventional thinking about doing one's best.
It's already clear.
And when you say, I'll try my best, if there is the idea of I, is that wise attention or wise thinking?
No wise thinking.
And what we discussed the other day with regard to losing the phone, which of course no one likes to lose their things, but usually people talk about something like this, losing their phone as result of conditions or result of bad karma because it's something unfortunate, but actually the result of karma are just brief moments of seeing and hearing. So we can't even say at such moments when one realizes one's lost one's phone that there are results of bad karma, because the moments of seeing and hearing, who knows if it's experiencing anything unpleasant. But the real problem is the thinking with attachment, the thinking with dosa, and thinking with ignorance, the accumulation, the unwholesome accumulation. So what we learn is that actually all the problems in life are really not the results of karma, but the real problems in life are the unwholesome ways of thinking, the unwise attention, the thinking with attachment, the thinking with ignorance, and thinking with aversion. Even if it's painful bodily experience, the moment of pain, the result of unwholesome karma, is just for a moment, so brief. And then there is so much thinking with dosa, and that's the real problem at those times. So it helps a lot to understand more about realities, to really see the truth of life.
Thank you very much for your explanation. I have no idea.
And what is clearer, the understanding now of seeing that it's not self, and moment when it's direct understanding of that which sees as a self?
Because before I sometimes I just think about the daily talk, about what happened next, about what is condition. But thanks for your reminder. I still, we need to see in the moment, at the moment only, to get, because if we just think about the future, even by the daily thinking, that's not Dhamma. It's a wrong thinking.
Can anyone do anything?
No one can do.
Depending on conditions, more wise attention, more understanding, and better, it will condition direct understanding of seeing nothing at all. At that very moment, just one reality at a time.
Yes.
And can anyone not do anything? No. So no one can do anything and no one can not do anything. So no one can say, because there are just conditions, so I won't run a business or I won't bother to listen to Dharma, because that's still the idea of I can do or I cannot do.
Yes, I get it.
Can there be clear understanding, not only theoretical or intellectual understanding like now? Is it possible?
Impossible.
When right understanding develops little by little, it will understand a little bit better and better of that which now seeing. At moment of talking about it.
We're talking about much about the thinking. So could you please have to elaborate more condition thinking thing?
Like now the thinking for each of us, the thinking is about different objects. For some, it's thinking about the flowers. For some, it's thinking about visible objects. For some, it's thinking about lost mobile. For some, it's thinking about lunch. This depends on different habits or accumulations. There's one condition which relates to the accumulations, the natural decisive support condition. So what has been thought about in the past, conditions, more thinking about that object now, what has been remembered before, conditions, more remembering about that object now, what has been understood before, conditions, more understanding now about that reality, what there was attachment to before, conditions, more attachment now. In other words, that habit grows stronger and stronger by this condition.
The reason I'm asking, because Ajahn talking about the wisely thinking and non-wise thinking. Then, for the wisely thinking, and we need not I or not something, but the need accumulate of the understanding of the reflecting of the reality, something like that. I'm not sure.
You said for the wisely thinking, there is no idea of I, but wise thinking is just a moment. It's not a person. There's not a person who is a wise thinker and another person who is not a wise thinker. If there is the hearing of the Dhamma and the understanding of what has been heard, it can condition a moment of wise thinking. And at that moment, there is no idea of I. And that moment, as Sarah was explaining, accumulates. Has there been wise thinking in the past, in previous lifetimes? Has the Dhamma been heard previously and understood?
I guess not.
I'm sure it has. Otherwise, there wouldn't be the interest in it in this lifetime.
Maybe that condition for attention, attend the discussion here.
So some wise thinking has been accumulated, even if it doesn't arise very often. But it needs the right conditions for it to arise again in this lifetime. What are those conditions?
Accumulation again.
No, what are the conditions that it is the wise thinking has been accumulated? What are the conditions for that wise thinking to arise again in this lifetime?
You mean in this lifetime, right?
It's been accumulated in previous lifetimes and can arise again in this lifetime. But what are the conditions for it to arise again? Just the things we've been talking about. There has to be the hearing about realities, about the moment, about dhammas, about the different dhammas that are appearing at the present moment and what their nature and characteristic is. And if there is some, if that is understood and reflected upon, it may condition wise thinking. Because wise thinking is just thinking about the way things are.
Yes, because
if there is the accumulation to think wisely, because some people may come and hear this, but no accumulation to think wisely, so it needs the accumulation too.
Yeah, sure. Because you know, at the moment of the hearings, there's no why thinking. At the moment of why thinking, maybe a little bit later on, maybe at the moment of seeing, hey, just wisely thinking at that moment, maybe that happened very short time. So it seemed like randomly conditioned and accumulation in the past.
When you say it seems randomly conditioned, the timing seems random, but the conditioning is the same condition, whatever the timing. Because, as we were saying earlier, the reflecting on what has been heard happens from time to time without necessarily deliberately reflecting about it. So when the consequence of that reflection on what has been heard conditions the arising of awareness and what object it takes, we have no control over.
And now there is it's such a lot of unwholesome thinking, unwise attention, which has been so strongly accumulated, but the reason for discussing and considering and airing our questions is because this is the condition for wise attention or wise considering to begin to develop more, so that there can be more wise considering and less unwise considering in future.
We hear the Dhamma, we are reminded that there are realities at this moment, like hearing or seeing. And then so many moments of forgetfulness. We talked about a characteristic of sati, which is non-forgetfulness of a reality which appears. But because of our accumulations in the past, there's such a lot of ignorance and forgetfulness. So mostly in a day we are forgetful, and then we listen again and we are reminded again, and there are some moments very short of right understanding, and that can be accumulated little by little, and that is the condition now and then to be aware or that there is sati or non-forgetfulness of what appears now.
And the fact that it happens randomly is confirmation that it is conditioned and not self.
So I think also helpful to remember that understanding develops very little in each lifetime. Very, very little. That's why it takes so long. Because otherwise many people think that, you know, we hear the teaching and then in this lifetime we have to become enlightened, and that is very far from the truth.
Is it a concern for you that the wise thinking is so little? Would you like it to be a lot more?
Listening to the Dhamma also by condition, right? So the good accumulation in the past, condition, the listening to the right Dhamma talking, then, and it's a very value for the self, just to say that, just myself. Luckily to that, and a little bit, then understand.
And is
on and on and on.
Is hearing the Dhamma also conditioned?
Yes.
And including for those people that are here now, is the hearing conditioned?
Yeah, sure.
So could a person be here but and listening but thinking about other things?
Yeah, sure.
Yes. And having other thoughts about having more understanding and so forth. It's not the moment of hearing the Dhamma or reflecting on what has been heard.
I just wonder about, you know, the nuns, because, you know, apart from Ajahn and, you know, her students, we usually hear from other teachers that the purpose in this lifetime to become enlightened. And coming here, we hear about that it's being very difficult and it takes long, long time. So would you share a little bit about your impressions hearing that? What do you think about it?
Nhờ chị Tâm Bạch dịch giùm ha. Thì
yeah, so she says that she a Dharma friend has introduced her about Ajahn, and she has been teaching listening to Ajahn's teaching for a couple of years, and she share about her experience at during a retreat. That because during the in the retreat, then was she was told to be develop mindfulness. That's why in the retreat, then one time there was a fire, but kept on sitting to develop mindfulness because she was told to do so. So she ignored the fire alarm, at the end of the retreat, she asked the instructor that how many panya among of the 16 panya levels, among of the 16 levels of insight, how many levels did she achieve? Then at that time, the instructor also told her that the path is staying long ahead, and she realized that she was wrong when she listened to the Dhamma talk at the retreat. Then she think that she have been practicing seriously, so she would. She might have gained at least one or something level. And in terms of the Noble Eightfold Path, then at the meditation center, she was told that when you don't do anything wrong, so it means that being at the meditation center, then meditators would have right livelihood, and being noble silent, so the meditator will have right speech, and so on. But since she listened to our chant, then she also reflect that if so, then a patient would be the one who have right speech and right livelihood, because he doesn't do any wrong.
Like the one who sits in the forest in silence or something.
So nothing about the Dhammas, the realities arising at the present moment from the meditation instructor.
So the teacher, the meditation teacher, told many things, and that it is good and the right speech and so on. But I have the impression it was not explained that it is not a self, not a person who does this or that, not about conditioned realities.
And then when you hear this, does it sound right or wrong to you? What's your idea?
I forgot an idea that she said that since she has more right understanding, then she know that studying Dhamma or any path is necessary to be detached. It's not that to gain anything. So I would agree with that. It's not that the purpose or the target to gain anything. So it may be include right understanding. It's not something to gain.
Do you agree with her that the way is to develop understanding for the sake of understanding, for the purpose of understanding? Do you agree with this?
But once we bear in our mind that the idea to gain anything, so even that to gain right understanding or any parami, so it's then the idea of gaining or getting or taking anything from Dhamma.
So are we now on the path leading to enlightenment?
Ajahn, please correct me if we...
I just ask everyone now to think about it. Are we now on the path leading to enlightenment?
I think if we have even idea of the path...
That is thinking about that. But the question is whether now, at this moment, we are on the path or not. Or not on the path. Without understanding, it's not the path. So at just the moment of understanding, that is the path, the first leading to other realities to be understood. So only at moment of understanding, just that develops. No one can do anything at all. After hearing, there is thinking a lot, but at moment of just understanding, that is the path. So one can understand by oneself whether now the understanding of reality, even from hearing, will lead to enlightenment, little by little. Without the intellectual understanding, even right now, it's impossible to understand clearer and clearer, because when we talk about seeing as the self, it's not clear. But begin to see that it cannot be self, because it's conditioned to arise and fall away instantly, and nothing can return or to be arise again, even that which sees and that which is seen. And this is the way life is. Nothing to be taken for I or things, because they are only conditioned reality to experience or not to be able to experience. So only right understanding is the path.
Is that correct, Lam?
I think
The path is an idea that to gain something.
That is thinking, but we talk about right understanding itself. Right understanding can arise with intellectual understanding or clearer than that when it develops. Otherwise, there cannot be enlightenment of seeing as not self or anything now as not self. No selection, not under anyone's control at all. That's why there can be enlightenment even right now, when time comes, when panya is enough to condition the moment of no self to be directly experienced, the arising and falling away of reality right now. So how can there be I? From hearing, it brings about the idea of there's no self, no I, but no direct understanding of seeing right now as that which arises and falls away. So it's the beginning to understand reality as not self, but it would be more clearer and more clear when there's more understanding, even intellectual understanding.
And when it's understanding, when there's a moment of understanding, even it's just weak intellectual understanding at that moment, is there any attachment or any idea of I am gaining anything at that time?
So what we have heard, so at the moment of right understanding, even at whatever level, then it is detachment, is not attachment.
And what can see that? What reality can understand that? Clearer and clearer. What kind of reality which can understand that?
As a learner, then the answer would be panya.
Right.
Is it correct or not correct?
It would be correct by Dhamma criteria.
By Dhamma criteria, but are Dhamma criteria the correct criteria? If it's by Dhamma that panya understands that or sees that, is that correct?
Is wise attention panya?
If it accompanied with panya, then it's
so they are different, but they arise together.